Bible to 1 John chapter 5. And the title of today's sermon again is Healing Belongs to You. Can you say that with me? Healing belongs to me. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John. Or you can call it 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. First John chapter 5. Firstly, let's read verse 4. First John chapter 5. Firstly, let's read verse 4. Yes, if you are there, just go for it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Amen. I like that. What version is that? Thank you. Let's have another version. New Living. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes what? The world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even what? Our faith. Let's have another one. I like that. Every child of God defeats this evil world. There's two things there. First, there's evil in the world. That evil includes sickness and disease and many other bad things. If you don't know there are bad things in the world, just listen to the news. Everyone, every child of God defeats this evil world. Yes, go on, please. We achieve this victory through our faith. Amen. So, what is faith? Yes, let's have some definition. See, you understand that this faith is your weapon to overcome all the brokenness and all the evil in this world. There's brokenness. There's some brokenness that is in your life. It's not even your fault. You're just born with it. Others come at you. It's a broken world. It's not a perfect world. When sin came into the world became what? Broken. But you can overcome. Say, I can overcome. And what is your victory? Even what? Your faith. Bible says, the just, the righteous shall live by what? By faith. It didn't say the righteous shall live by smartness. Yeah? He didn't say the righteous shall live by being very savvy. He said you will live by what? By faith. Now, remember that living, you're already living as a human being. You don't need to be righteous to be alive. It's the gift of God. Yeah? But so the living he's talking about there is a life of victory. Amen? In the last sermon, I was talking about Jesus has come to give us what? Life. It's the God kind. Yeah? And that life is abundant life. If you are a child of God, you have the capacity, yeah, to defeat this evil world. Is that what it said? To defeat, to overcome. That the evil in this world can come to your life through different challenges. There is no guarantee that you will not face what? Challenges. But there is guarantee that if you use your faith, you will have what? The victory. Say there's guarantee that I will have the victory if I use my faith. Okay, so what is faith? What is faith? Just from the simplest definition to the most complicated, what is faith? Let's just go around, take a few. Just to remind ourselves, this is this master weapon you need in life to overcome.
Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Yes, thank you, thank you. Now, I'm looking for simple word definitions, just one word or two words. What is faith? As many years you've been in church, if you have to tell me what faith is in one or two words, yes?
Yeah, faith is the belief of faith, an occurrence.
Faith is believing. Say, can I take that? Yes. Faith is, because you're going longer. Faith is what? Believing. Yes, that's good. Yes, more? I come back. What is faith?
It's an action that you take based on the integrity of God's word.
Faith is an action. Faith is believing, but faith is not just believing. Faith is also acting on what you believe. Yes, like that. Yes, more. What is faith?
Conviction.
Faith is believing. But it's not just believing. It's conviction. Now, I remember having a discussion with my son, and we were like, faith without corresponding actions is dead. And my son is like, yeah, that's true, but it sounds like a paradox. If faith was dead, why are we even discussing it? Yeah? Faith cannot be alive. Faith cannot be something that is real, and then the next moment is dead. It's either alive or dead. Yeah? And we said the difference is that you can have faith in your mind. That is, you hear an information, you agree with it. You accept it as true. So that's believing with your mind. Yeah, for example, now, I can see the light on, so I accept. I'm not debating it. It's there. You know, there are people that see facts and say they don't accept. But when you accept a fact, yeah, you are believing, first of all, with your mind. You can't believe with your heart if you don't agree with it in your mind. You must first agree. Yeah? But that's not the end point. So why we're talking about conviction now is that faith, usually the faith that you believe with your mind is agreement or mental assent. You assent to it. You agree. You know, like when they make new laws in parliament, yeah, they pass it on to the king. Sorry, it's no longer the queen. Hello, ladies. It's now the queen. It's now the king. And then he has to sign it. It's called royal assent. He didn't make the law, but he has agreed that, you know, it's a law. And nothing is a law in this country until it has what? Royal assent. It's an agreement. I agree with it. And then it becomes officially law. So when you agree with an information, yeah, it's in your mind. And that's believing with your mind. But it's not conviction. You see what I'm saying? It's believing with your mind, but it's not conviction. Now, but it's stage one. But now when you move from agreeing with information to believing with your heart, that is conviction. That is, you are ready now to live by it. You don't live by what you agree with your mind. You live by what you believe in your heart. Yeah? I may agree that if you're very cook, who is a good cook? Anybody? Any young person that is a good cook here? Anyone between 11 and 18? You start developing the skills, you need them. You will need them for the next generation. Yeah? So, if someone gives you a nice meal, yeah? And they're a good cook, and you look at the meal, and you know there are people like that. They say, oh, this is nice. It's wonderful. But they're going to eat it. Yeah? They say it's nice, it smells like, but they're not going to eat it. So they are believing, they are agreeing with their mind. But what they are saying is not conviction in their heart. Because if you believe with your heart that it's good food, what are you going to do? You're going to eat it. Not only will you eat it, you're going to tell people about how nice it was. Amen. So believing, yeah? Then, as you believe with your mind, as it moves to your heart, you are believing with your heart, it's called conviction. And when you have conviction, you will act. When you have conviction, what will you do? You will act. You will live by it. You will stake everything on it because it's your conviction. You're welcome, sister. And I remember last time, we were talking about Sharon. God bless you, Sharon. We're just talking about name. And I was like, you know, if everyone voted in the UK and said, your name is not Sharon, will you accept that your name is not Sharon? Why? Why won't you? Let's air again. Why would she not accept? Everyone has voted. 60 million or 66 million people voted and said, we vote that you are not Sharon. Your name is Hannah. Why will you say, why will you not be convinced? Why will you not be convinced? I mean, 66 million people, they say, can't be wrong. They can't. Yes?
Because you know your name.
You know your name. And we're going to develop. I did last time. I want to develop it further. So now, how did you know your name?
Because it's what's written on your certificate.
A bit more. Keep, make it personal. How do you know your name? Who gave you your name?
Your parents.
Yes. See, make it more personal. Make it direct. Who gave you your name? Look, just look to your right. Who gave you your name? Look to your right. Where's your right? Amen. So how do you know that Shower is your name? Just develop it along this line.
Because my dad gave me
that. Because your father told you. Your father what? Told you. And you know your father. And you know what he told you. Even if 66 million people are telling you that it's not so, what will you tell them? Say, my father told me. Amen? The same thing with the things of God. When God tells you something, and you know that he's your father, you know that he is true, he has integrity, he cannot deny himself. You know, God, the way God talks about it, says that the day my word is not true, I don't exist. That's mean that he cannot deny himself. If his word is not true, God has staked everything on his word. And that's why God cannot just act randomly. He acts by his word. So he's told you. Don't let circumstances and situations and people vote against it. Because you have the greatest integrity in God. There's a place where it says, let God be true. And every man be what? A liar. And remember that the devil is what? The devil is a liar. I still say this morning. I say you have to say it often. Anytime things show up in your life that don't look like God, say the devil is what? A liar. And you refuse to submit. Yeah? To the devil. You refuse to be a victim. Challenges can show up. But you have to refuse to be what? A victim of the devil. My father told me. Say with me, say my father. I'm not talking about the earthly one. I'm talking about the heavenly one. The one who is everywhere. He told me. Amen. He told me that by the stripes that wounded Jesus, what am I? I am healed. He told me. Amen. He told me. And I believe it. I don't just believe in my head. I'm forming a conviction on it. I'm going to live my life based on the fact that by the stripes that wounded Jesus, I am healed. So when sickness and disease shows up, it can. Say me, say it can. It's a broken world. Evil can show up. Yeah? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? If sickness or disease shows up in your life or around you, based on what your father told you, what are you going to do? See, it's a clue. Anyone ready? Sorry, go on.
You just confess by his
You have faith. To. You see, faith is not just believing. Faith is not just conviction. Faith is acting. If you have not done, if you are not taking any action about your faith is dead. You can't have a conviction about something and keep quiet. What did I say? What did I say? Say with me. You can't have a conviction about something and keep quiet. If you are keeping quiet, your conviction is very shallow. Amen? You can believe something with your head and keep quiet. It's not a conviction. It doesn't move you. When you have conviction, what does it do? It moves you. Conviction moves you into action. When you have conviction, you can't just keep quiet. Amen? So I have conviction that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I don't know about you, but he died for my sins. Amen? Who died for my sins? Jesus. I believe it. So when sin shows up in my life, what do? I go to the cross and say, Jesus, I have sinned. I'm very sorry. Forgive me. I don't go proving myself. I just go and receive mercy. Amen? Because that's my conviction. And I believe that the blood of Jesus will wash me from all unrighteousness. And I don't want to stay forever free from God. I don't want to keep a gap. We're not fighting a battle. Yeah? He loves me unconditionally, perfectly. Of course, he wants the best for me. So I'm not going to run away from him. I'm going there. I'm going to the cross. You don't ever run away from the cross. Go there each time. You need his grace and his mercy. He will always be there for you. Amen? He is there to repair what has been messed up. Jesus is there to heal what has been broken. So if you are broken, you don't run away. You run to him. Amen? There is nothing broken in this world that God cannot mend. Man may not be able to, but God can. Amen? So when you are broken, you don't rationalize it. Don't find every reason why you have to be in the state you are. Don't try to whitewash it. Go to the cross. Go to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I'm here. Help me. Heal me. Touch me. Transform me. You have a problem in your life? Take it to the Lord in prayer and trust him. Yes. Another word for faith is, Sharon, I know you wanted to say something. Any other word for faith?
Trust in God.
Trust! That was what I wanted to say. It's trust. So the just shall live by faith. And this is the victory that overcomes. This is how we defeat this evil world. How? We use our faith. Your faith starts by your trust in God. I trust God. It's not that we are denying the facts. Every day in this physical world, you have to deal with facts, yeah? But when the fact in your life is not what you want for your life, hello? You can't just embrace, someone say, I live by facts. I like to be realistic. So, for example, if you are poor, what? You just accept that you are poor and tell everybody I'm poor and I'll be poor for the rest of my life. Is that not a fact? Is that what you do? What do you do? Let me ask the young people. If you just find out that you are poor, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to be realistic? What are you going to do?
If I find out that I'm poor?
Yes, that you're just poor. You check your bank account and 5p. It's never zero. It's 5p. Then you know you and then you know you check your credit card. Yeah? How much? £1,000 piled up. What are you gonna do? Are you gonna say these are facts? Yeah? Say fact. Is that a fact? It's a fact. You can see the document. So how are you gonna be realistic about it?
And I'll ask my parents for help.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. That's an honest answer. Honest. Honest. It's honest. I like honest answers. So now we'll move to the parent. What are you going to do about the situation now? How are you going to be? This is a fact. The fact is that the money is gone. And the fact is that he has asked you. Okay. These are facts. So now let's be realistic. What are you going to do?
Get a job.
Redirect. You redirect. Yeah. Thank you. I thank you for those answers. They are very good. Very interesting. Facts may not always favor you. Facts can even hit you very hard. Yeah? So you can't just live your life by facts. Because there are facts and there are solutions to facts. Most of the time you need solutions to the facts. We're not denying the fact. We are finding solution to the fact. Which one do you prefer? Fact or solution? Solutions. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a solution. And the Bible tells you that this is how you're going to defeat this evil world. You're going to need to have to use what? Your faith. Yeah? The evil world will present you with facts. And some of those facts are unpleasant. There are some times, you know, that people that say, you know what, if there's something I don't have in my life, not working in my life, I fix it. But what if you're looking for the job now and you can't get one? That's another fact. So what are you going to do now? You've done your best, but it's not working. You need God. Amen? You need what? You need God. That's why sometimes, you know, for some people to believe, God will allow them to be broken. Because, you know, to really come to God, you need to understand that you need God. That, you know, that on your own, you're nothing. Yeah? Yes. You okay? You okay, my sister? Do you want to share? if it's beneficial. No? Yes? Amen. Amen. You know, there are some people that have jobs. These are facts. They have job. They are working hard. But the balance is still 5p. Sometimes you feel like, oh, if I get a job, everything will be fine. You got a job, but your outgoing is more than your incoming. That's another fact. You need something to help you. And what we help is what? Your faith. That your faith starts from your trust. Trust, what is trust? What is trust? What does it mean to trust? It's, I trust you. If you are trusting someone, what does it mean? What are you doing? Come on, let's ask the young people. When you say, I trust you. Have you ever said it? I trust you. What do you really mean? What are you really saying?
Certain form of loyalty to them.
Yes, loyalty. Yes, more words, more words. Loyalty is a good one, yes. I trust you. What does it mean? Just answer and look at just a few words. What, when you say, I trust you, what are you really saying about that person? You believe
in the person, or you have confidence in the person.
You believe in the person, or another one is you have confidence in them. Yes, I like that. Yeah, more? I trust you.
It's a complete blind and let go confidence. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going.
Yes.
I trust you.
Okay, good. Now, let me just remove. You said good things. I'll just remove one of them. One of them, the issue is never blind. You never trust somebody blindly. never. But what you're saying is that, what you're saying about blindly, you want to rely on them completely. Yeah? That's what you're saying. And that's a very strong explanation of trust. Trust is to, when you trust someone, you are relying on them. You are depending on them. You are leaning on them. Amen? You're not just believing, you are leaning on what they have to offer. You are depending on their integrity. I mean, you can trust people for bad things too, yeah? He's someone that's always disappointed you all the time. You can start trusting them that they will disappoint you. Yeah? The only side to that is that if you want to walk in love, you must always give a chance. Someone can change. Don't ever look at someone and say, you know what, you can never change. So, you can love them. You can hope for change, but don't depend on them. Does it make sense? You can love someone and not depend on them. Love someone means that you believe for the best in them. You believe that they can change. You believe that something new can happen. Yeah? But don't stake your life on it. Because they will let you down over and over again. The proof that you love them is that you are praying for them. The proof that you love them is that you are reaching out to them and giving them a taste of love. Yeah? You can't say you love someone and not give them a taste of love. There's nothing that will open a human heart more than love. Love is what? The greatest. Amen? Love is what? The greatest. That's why the Bible says, Galatians chapter 5 verse 6. It says, let's read it. Galatians 5, 6. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6. Yes, whoever is ready, I will take it. Whoever is ready. Galatians 5, 6. Yes, thank you. I'm still coming to young people. We're going to have it from another version after Sister Frida, another version. And we're going to call a young person in this corner.
I'm reading from New Living.
Yes, please.
For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love.
Faith expressing itself in what? In love. Thank you. Now let's have New King James. You just pass it on to the beautiful lady beside you. Galatians 5:6 NKJV.
For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love.
Amen. Now, if you are struggling with the circumcision, thank you. If you are struggling with circumcision, what there is telling you, the Jew is circumcised. The Greek is not circumcised. But in Christ Jesus, doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or you're a what? A Greek. What matters is what? Your faith. But that your faith, it works toward love. So one of the things that will stop your faith from working well is when you're not working in love. You know, I'm full of bitterness, I'm full of offenses, unforgiveness, you know, anger, malice. It can hinder my faith. Because God is love. Amen. Faith works toward love. And the principle is this. You have received forgiveness. Every day. How many times? Every day. Andrew, how many times? Every day. You sin against God. You may not sin in your action. You may sin in your thoughts. Yeah, just a wrong thought. Just a drift. Yeah? In your words, in the things you say, or the things you don't say, you sin. So long you're living in this flesh, you can't sin. But God forgives you. How often does God forgive you as a minimum? Every day. So you have received love. Say, I've received love. So if I don't give love, it's an insult to what you have received. Because you are being sustained by the love you've received. And the Bible says, freely you've received, freely give. So your faith, if you are in faith, faith is powered by love. Faith is what? It's powered by love. So sometimes you may see that your faith is not working. The reason why it's not working is that it's not you are selfish. When you are selfish and proud, it slows down your faith. Because God is love. God humbled himself and he came down and became a man and died on the cross. That's humility. He gave his best gift. So if God can humble himself and give himself, then you humble yourself and give yourself. And then you are given a good foundation for your faith to work. Amen? And faith is trust. You're going to rely on him. Amen? You're going to rely on him. You're going to what? Rely on him. So if you say, I will not be broken. I am healed in the name of Jesus. Do you know why you know you are healed? Because you understand that your God is a good God. Amen? 1 John 4:18. Open to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4 verse 18. 1 John chapter 4 verse 18. 1 John chapter 4 verse 18. Yes. Let's have another young person. 1 John 4:18. We're going to have Andrew Omumba. 1 John 4, 18. Whoever is ready. Who is ready? Yes, thank you. 1 John 4, 18. Go on, Mumba.
Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love.
Amen. Thank you. That was New Living. Let's have a New King James. Yes, New King James. Who is ready? 1 John 4:18.
There is no fear in love.
There is no fear in love.
But perfect love casts out fear.
Perfect love casts out what?
Fear.
Why?
Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love.
Amen. When you put God at the center of your life, when you see him as your rock, your strength, your shield, your God, when you see yourself as a child of God, when I say I'm a child of God, what does that mean? What does that mean? It means that God is my father. That's a simple answer, yeah? If I'm a child of God, God is my what? My father. He cares about me. He is there for me. If God is my father, he is what? Is there for me. Another word that faith is. It means that if God is my father, God is committed to me. Faith is commitment. His commitment to my God. If God is my father, he's committed to my best interest. Say, God is my father. Because I have become his child. By accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If God is my Father, he is committed to my best interest. And you don't need to doubt that. Amen? And part of your best interest is to be well. Amen. Don't ever doubt it. You can't glorify God by sickness and disease. If you think that God is giving you sickness and disease to punish, to train you, that means you have been rebellious. You should repent quickly. Hello? If God has to use sickness and disease to train you, that means you are very stiff-necked. Yeah? So repent quickly so that he doesn't have to train you that way. If you look at the Bible, whenever God has to send sickness or disease upon people, they have been rebellious. God does not need sickness and disease to train you. He can train you through the pastor. He can train you through the Bible. He can train you through the Holy Spirit. Why does he need a messenger of Satan to train you? Unless you have been very what? Rebellious. Say it, we say, I'm a sheep. I'm not a goat. Amen. It's goats that need to be trained the hard way. Because they're not listening. Amen. He has your best interest. And he already sent his son to die on the cross. Amen. Jesus has died. If Jesus has died, I can live. And we find out from John 10 that he's not just living like someone who doesn't know God. He said, I have come, John chapter 10 verse 10, so that you can have what? Life. And have it to what? The full. Amen. You know what? Let me go on. What does it mean to have life to the full? A full life. Or someone read last week, a full and satisfying life. Do you know who read that? Who read that last week? Was it you? You remember? John 10:10. Say, I've come that you may have a full and satisfying life. What does it mean to have a full life? And not just be alive. It's one thing to be alive. It's one thing to have a full life. What is a full life? Yes.
Is it to embrace everything that's thrown your way, whether it's good or bad?
Yeah, thrown by who?
By God.
Yeah, okay. Good answer. Let me just, I'm looking for a term that will relate to your job. Let me trim it. Yeah. It means to have to experience, to embrace and experience every good thing that God has planned for your life. And by the way, every plan of God is good. Even if it involves some persecution and some suffering. But it doesn't mean to embrace everything the devil gives. It means to overcome. So to have a full life, I have to enter into every good plan of God for my life and I have to overcome every work of Satan. If any work of Satan dominates my life is he has stolen because he's a thief. Yeah? But let's assume that, actually, it's not exclusive. Let's assume that there's nothing bad happening in your life. But you are not embracing everything God asks for you. You don't have a full life either. Amen? I mean, like, you can have all the money in the bank. But if the plan of God for your life, why God has brought you to this world, you are not fulfilling it, you don't have a full life. If the things that God has designed you for, you are not becoming them, you don't have a full life. It's like you're not reaching your potential. To have a full life is to reach your full potential in God and to keep the devil under where? Under your feet. Amen. Say the devil belongs under my feet. Amen. He says there's no fear in love. You know I like to look at is that look. I am in partnership with God. Say with me, say, I'm in partnership. The best partnership you can enter in life, yeah, is not with your spouse, that's good, or with your business, yeah. The best partnership you can enter in life is with God. So when I'm in partnership with God, I can live a life free of fear. You know why? He has my back. Amen. God will never leave me. Say it for yourself. God will never leave me. I said my name is Ben. God will never leave me. He will never forsake me. In my time of need, in my time of trouble, He will show up for me in the name of Jesus Christ. Every child of God defeats this evil world. Now, if you read that, and you close your Bible, you say, oh, wow, good. Excellent. I don't have to do anything. I'm a child of God, and I'm defeating. No, no, finish it. He said, this is the victory. This is what you can use to defeat the world. What? Your faith. So every child of God that uses their faith defeats evil in this world. But every child of God that is not using their faith, evil can dominate them. Yeah? Am I correct? Do you agree? Let's take it further. He says, faith works through love. So every child of God that uses their faith, walking through love, defeats the evil in this world. If a child of God is using their faith, but they're not walking what? In love, they can't defeat the evil that is in this world. Amen? That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, it said there are three things that will last forever. How many things will last forever? I'm just thinking like when you buy a new dress or a new top or a new what jacket or a new what else can you buy that is new? Car? What else? Some people like it very new. What can you buy that is new? Anything you can buy that is new? Something new that you like to buy if you had the money. What can you buy that is new?
Phone?
Yes, a phone.
A house.
A house, yes, thank you. I like new houses. Six bedroom. I heard of someone that bought a six bedroom. Yes, more? What can you buy that is new? That you like?
Car.
A car! Then Audrey will let her drive it. Oh, very kind, very kind. What will you buy that is new that you like? What?
PlayStation.
Okay. Not for Audrey. Audrey has gone beyond the level of PlayStation. Amen. Bible says three things will last forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. You can read it. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. He said there's three things that will last forever. Before I go there, any other new thing you buy in this world that is immaterial cannot last forever. Yeah? New car, after some years, 3 years, it has become half the price in value. Even if you are not driving it much, it just depreciates like that. New house, if you are using it, yes.
What about precious metals?
Say that again.
Precious metals.
Precious metals, like?
Gold. Like gold?
Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that if you buy gold, yeah, do you think it will last forever? So why do you keep buying gold? If you bought one, why is it not enough? Have you thought about it? Yeah, but is gold not good? Gold is not good. Okay, what is different? Let's explore it.
The different
yeah, so you went and you saw this gold. Whether it's a necklace or areas that this is nice. It's like the best thing I've come across. Yeah? Did you feel that way when you were buying it? Yeah. Just assume.
Okay.
And then, the next moment you go out again. You are, I don't know whether it's better, but you are attracted to something else. Can you see? And of course you know very well, my sister knows very well that if you keep using gold for a while, what happens? Over many years, what happens to that particular gold? What do you do to it? What do you need to do? Does it need maintenance?
You need to wash it.
Thank you. You know much more. I won't go there, but you see, there's nothing in this world that can last forever. Yeah? Material things. Material things cannot last because they're all made from dust. Every material thing is made from what? Dust. And I preached this message again before. I said, the gold in heaven is not the same as the gold on earth. The gold on earth, yeah, is not transparent. The gold in heaven, read Revelation chapter 21. That is transparent gold, clear as glass. They're not the same quality. Your gold on earth is poor quality. Say with me, say the gold on earth is poor quality. This is not the same gold you see in heaven. Amen. The precious stones on earth are poor quality. The ones in heaven, jasper, is transparent. Transparent. It's in Revelation chapter 21. They're not the same quality. God is not on your, God is the higher level. Amen? God is what? So you know now that the gold on earth perishes with the earth. The new Jerusalem is made of gold that is clear as glass. Can you imagine? Try to imagine. You can't. Praise the Lord. But the Bible says that there are three things that will last forever. How many things? Three. And you say, this is what? Let's read it. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. And I will, let me see how I'm doing. I want to finish on time. Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Yes, who's ready? We're about to. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, my sister. We're about to finish soon. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13.
Three things will last forever. Mm-hmm. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. It's just so refreshing to hear that. Let's have another version. One more, just for emphasis. Yes, this side. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. Who is ready? Anyone? Oh, Hodu, you've not said much. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. Yes. Maybe you're going to do New Living?
Yeah.
Okay.
Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
Amen. There are three things that we will last forever. You know what it means? They will never lose value. They will never fade. Another version says that they will never fade away. They will never fade. They are eternal. They are precious. They are precious and precious metal. They are precious than the gold on this earth. But we'll talk about the trial of your faith is being much more precious than gold. I'm reading the Bible that perisheth. No, Bible says it's in Peter. He said that the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes. So our Bible actually makes a statement that gold perishes. Your faith is precious. Say with me, say my faith is precious. More precious than gold. Amen. Your hope too. It's not the worst hope of best wishes. It's that hope that one day you'll be with Jesus. One day you will have a new body. One day, yeah, you will walk on the streets of gold. Not earthly gold. Heavenly. Yeah? That hope is precious. Someone who doesn't believe in God cannot have that hope. Some people who don't believe in God, they just believe that when they die, they die. But they don't really believe it. Because the moment their friends die, they say, oh, let's have a mini silence. For what? What are you having a mini silence for? If they are gone forever, why are you having a silence? Yeah? Why are you honoring the dead if they no longer exist? Can you see all those underlying things that there's still an underlying belief about the continued existence of that person? Some people say, oh, they become an angel. They may say, oh, I believe that when you are dead, but they come back to tell you that they become an angel. They come back to say, let's have a mini silence. So they don't really believe. It's the difference between their head and their heart. In their heart, they know that they're not just dead. Your hope is precious. And finally, your love. The love of Christ in you, yeah, is the most precious thing you have on earth. And the Bible says that the greatest of this is what? It's love. So once I'm walking in love with God, I don't need to be afraid. Things may show up. Yeah? But let my faith rise up to the battle. Amen? I believe. Say with me, I believe in the word of God. I believe in the victory of Jesus. I believe that by reason of Jesus dying on the cross, healing and health belongs to me. I refuse to be broken. Amen. Amen. In every part of your life, even whatever is broken right now, receive healing. It's yours. And how do you do it? You claim it. You declare it. If you have conviction, you will declare it. If you have conviction, you will act on it. You will say, you know what? Jesus has healed me. He is the Lord that healed me. By his stripes, I'm healed. My body is healed. My eyes are healed. My tummy, if you have tummy problem, is healed. Whatever that problem, say in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Leave my life. Leave my body. I'm not just anybody. I'm a child of God. And God is my Father. I believe what my Father told me. That is the truth. And as you do that, your facts will change. When you take action based on your faith, your facts will what? Change. Let's finish on that. Say with me. Say, when I take action based on my faith and I persevere in faith, my facts will change.